You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Francisco Giants. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com, and I am joined by my colleague Chris Haft, who covers the Giants for MLB.com. And Chris, I want to this week focus on something that we haven't really talked a whole lot about, but is something that is a strength of the Giants roster, and that is the bullpen. It's interesting because there haven't been, sweeping changes since last season, but what they have is extremely enviable for other teams, is that they have two extremely good left-handed relievers who have totally different looks. And I like the story that you wrote recently just about just how different all of the relievers are and how they just bring something different to the table, which is probably why they've been so successful. But let's start talking a little bit just on the left-handed side with Jeremy Affeldt and Javier Lopez and what they really do to stabilize that bullpen.
Yes, they definitely do, Allison. I think any team would like to have either of those two guys. Lopez is more of a loogie, the lefty one-out specialist. But he's a very good one, even though he doesn't, rack up a whole lot of innings, pitch a whole lot of multiple innings, although he can. He's capable of that. But he's particularly devastating against left-hand hitters because he comes down from the side. So his release point is, really deceptive and difficult for a left-hand hitter. He's experienced, so he just does not scare. He can put him in any situation against any top left-hand hitter, and he'll thrive. I don't think it's any accident that he's got four World Series rings on his fingers, not just the three with the Giants, but also one with Boston in 2007. Jeremy Affeldt, he's so versatile for the Giants in the bullpen. He can go, they can use him as a, one out guy, or can pitch multiple innings as he's done a couple times in the World Series, the last two World Series to help save them. And actually in 2010, he did that in the final game of the League Championship Series to launch a winning effort in the clinching game, Game 6 at Philadelphia, to be specific. Jeremy throws a little more conventionally than Javier Lopez does, coming more over the top. But he's got quite a variety of pitches, including a curveball, which is, just devastating when he's got his fastball working. And again, he's, pretty durable. They both are, actually. They rank among the leaders in the appearances, in the time frame since, they both joined the Giants. Affeldt came over there in 2009 as a free agent, has, stuck with him, re-signed with him a couple times since. And Lopez came over at a trade deadline deal in 2010, which, of course, was the first year they won their, when they started their three World Series in 5 years stretch. So, again, both their track record and the team's track record during the time they've been with the club speak for themselves.
And Jeremy Affeldt, he does not get enough credit, and that is the life of a reliever, so it's not that he's necessarily looking for it. But when you have – he had a phenomenal World Series. He had a phenomenal postseason. And I think it could be argued that they wouldn't have been anywhere near where they got without him. And – he's not going to get the fanfare that a Madison Bumgarner gets, of course, but what he was able to do was pretty, just really amazing. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I remember reading about it. It was some stretch of scoreless innings that was just phenomenal.
You're absolutely right. He's great. He too is excellent in clutch situations. And those multiple inning appearances he can put in, they've been invaluable for the Giants.
So let's go with a couple right-handers. When you're talking about Sergio Romo, Santiago Casilla, and you say that Casilla has a starter's repertoire of pitches, so that is like a luxury to have in a reliever. So what do you see in those two guys?
Well, it's kind of funny. You just named the two. With the three World Series, the Giants had a different – what's interesting is that the Giants had a different closer in each one. In 2010, we had Brian Wilson. 2012, Sergio Romo. This year, Santiago Garcia, who replaced Romo as a closer in June – or I forget, late May, June, when Sergio had a run of just some pretty bad outings. They absolutely had to make a change, and they did. But there was no skipping a beat. Sergio accepted the quote-unquote demotion to set up guy, you know, gracefully, and he understood what had to happen. Santiago Garcia had no problem stepping up, you know, by the same token, from setting up to the closer's role, which he had held briefly in the 2012 season, when actually the opposite happens. They demoted Santiago after a string of bad outings and made Romo the closer, and Romo ended up, you know, getting the last out in the final game of the World Series, which I think is a measure of any closer, obviously. You know, so they're both. Sergio is doesn't throw overpowering. He's got this little slider, which, you know, everybody knows is coming, and yet they still can't hit it. It's kind of remarkable, but it just goes to show what happens when you throw strikes. He's the quintessential strike thrower, you know, as opposed to a lot of bullpen guys who just come in firing, you know, 98-mile-an-hour seeds. There's nothing wrong with that, but Sergio gets it done with pitches that have a lot less velocity.
Garcia, I find it interesting, you know, like when you bring up Romo, and we talk about 10 months to come. I mean, is San Francisco and are the Giants like the happiest place on earth? Because it's funny because these guys, they struggle, they lose their jobs, they accept these lesser roles, and you don't see such harmonious decisions being made with a lot of other teams. The guys are demanding trades. And I know, of course, it has to do with the fact that this team wins a lot. So they obviously want to be part of the bigger prize. And when you have a team that wins the World Series every other year, you obviously have a chance to win it every year, even in the years that they didn't make the playoffs. But is that part of it, or are these just really exceptional people? Like, what's going on? What's in the water there?
I think it's all the above, Allison. You know, there's some. I think a lot of these guys just happen to be, you know, real well-rounded competitors, you know, with decent heads on their shoulders. They do want to win. The fact that they have won before, you know, helps them know that, you know, it can happen here. So they're maybe they'll take their a few more personal lumps than they otherwise might just to, you know, to play for a winner. And of course, you know, manager Bruce Bochy gets guys to toe the line, whether you know, and usually it's away from, you know, prying eyes or cameras or what have you. So it's a lot of different factors that success breeds success a lot of times. And I think that's what's happened in San Francisco to some extent.
So what about Hunter Strickland? This is an interesting kind of dynamic going on. So he's a guy that everybody loves. He's obviously not been in the big leagues for very long. And he was thrown into the national spotlight to be in the postseason. He gave up a lot of home runs, so there's work to do. But how did the Giants view him and his experience last year? I mean, you got to be really careful with young guys and just from a mental standpoint to not do things that are really going to, you know, hurt their confidence. But what were you thinking, you know, looking back on it after everything is over on Strickland?
I think they're going to need to work with him a lot more. I think that's pretty obvious. You know, just getting to put him, just the velocity is really impressive. Hunter is more typical of what you're seeing more and more, I think, in a lot of other bullpens these days. You know, a lot of teams like the Cardinals are, you know, they can start bringing in guys throwing 98, 99 as early as the fifth or sixth inning because they've got, you know, three or four of those characters in the bullpen. And that's nice to have, but you've got to be able to put a little bit of a wrinkle in the pitch because anybody can hit as straight as a string 98 mile an hour fastball. As impossible as it sounds for us mere mortals, I mean, these guys can do it. You know, major league hitters can hit that stuff. So he's got to be able to. So Hunter has to be able to, you know, add a little deception somehow to his delivery, or, you know, just the way he, you know, what he puts on his pitches, or else he's not going to have much of a major league career, frankly.
right. I think it's a well-worn cliche, but it's true. I mean, you could throw 100 miles an hour. That's wonderful. But if you don't know where to put it, then you're going to get, these are major league hitters. They know what to do with those kind of fastballs.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You know, if it's stray, it's a stray. At least, they're put on the outside corner or at the knees or something like that. It sounds difficult, and that's because it is.
So I love the story on, and this is a good way to end this, on the ring design. So there's a super secret dynamic going on here to see what this World Series ring will be this time around, which is hilarious. So the 2012 ring, and I do have to say that I did get the whole Dwayne Kuiper's 2012 World Series ring, and I actually put it on my left hand, which is the closest a diamond ring has ever come to the ring finger on my left hand. But thing has 144 diamonds, according to a report by Chris Haff, which is up from 77 in 2010. So, I mean, it's like we're talking batting averages. It's so great. So what do you think? I mean, they're going to try to, I guess, top themselves. I mean, how many more diamonds can you have before you need an extra finger to just wear the thing?
Maybe they'll make the diamonds tinier, but they'll have put in more of them. What you don't want to see, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not going to get one. But I was going to say what you should try to avoid, or what a team should try to avoid, is having these oversized rings, which, I hate to criticize a particular club, but I thought those Marlins rings in 2003.
Yes.
They were as big as a car. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was just
over, sometimes less is more. So I sure hope, for the Giants' sake, again, it doesn't matter to me, but for the Giants' sake, I hope they avoid that sort of look. Maintain a little, remember that less is more, and, do something simple and sweet. Maybe even, given the way they won the World Series, maybe just a little etching of Madison Bumgarner is, put Madison Bumgarner's face on it somewhere, because he almost won the series single-handedly.
Well, like you said, the Marlins ring, that's what everyone in the industry, I mean, whenever you talk about, how much is too much, and everyone always refers to the Marlins rings of 2003, but really, they couldn't, they went above the knuckle, so it was almost unwearable because you couldn't bend your finger. So, I mean, that would be, I mean, you would think that people would not want, unless they're going to sell it and, try to get as much money they could, but you would think that they wouldn't want something that they can't wear.
That's another thing. Good point. I don't know if how many people out there have seen that commercial with Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson and Doug Flutie and Joe Montana, and then Joe Montana sticks up his arm, his right arm, and he's got the five rings on it. I wonder how he did that, or whether that was staged and he had a bunch of fake rings. But yeah, some people actually wear these things. So they just don't put them in the safety deposit box. They might not wear two at once, but they'll certainly wear one. That's something in an odd way, I think that has to be considered. Some people actually wear them as a ring.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I certainly hope that they can muddle through these struggles of trying to come up with the design of the San Francisco Giants. Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to you soon.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.